Oh, man. We serve a God who is very much in control of every circumstance and situation. Amen. So happy to be a part of this day. Missions has been something close to our hearts for many years, really. And when I was a sophomore in high school, I went on my first... No, I take that back. My mom was from England. And my mom and dad would often go and take missions teams, youth missions teams, to England and to Europe and do missions trips short term. And so my first trip I got to go on was I was 12. And I went and caught a glimpse of what it was like to minister in another culture and to reach people that didn't know Christ in those places. And over time, God just kept opening doors for me to go. And it was one time in Costa Rica when I was a sophomore in high school that God really stirred my heart. And I walked the streets of San Jose, Costa Rica, and saw the faces of people that were hurting, faces of people that some had not heard the name of Jesus, had not been pointed in the direction of how to get to heaven someday. And we believe, and I believe my whole life, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And as we shared that simple truth with people in Costa Rica, many of whom had never heard that, I was amazed that when they heard the simple truth of the gospel, it made sense to them and they accepted it. And when we shared about being born again and how the story of Nicodemus in John 3 where he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, how can I go back in my mother's womb and be born a second time? It's impossible. And Jesus said, yes, it is impossible. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. And Nicodemus came to the realization that when Jesus was calling him to be born again, it was a birth in his spiritual realm, in his spiritual being, that Scripture says that it's as if we are dead in our transgressions and sins. But when Jesus comes in and washes those away and forgives us, we move into a new life, which is a life in the Spirit. And so as I had the opportunity to share some of those simple truths, we actually had a cassette tape. Now, this proves that anyone can reach the lost. This proves that anyone can go on a missions trip and doesn't have to have one bit of skill or confidence, okay? We had, in those days, I just aged myself here. There's people here that have never heard of a cassette tape, probably. Surely not. No, surely not. These babies, maybe. 3-week-old twins over here, by the way. That's worthy of a hand, and praise to God for bringing them into this world. It's awesome. Anyway, cassette tapes, most of you at least know what they are. If you've never touched one, it's okay. But we had a little cassette player, and the message of the gospel message, like I just in brief talked about, the being born again and coming to Jesus, he's the only way to life eternal in heaven someday. And we played these cassette tapes in Spanish, and we had a little script we were following, and there would be a little beep where we were supposed to pause. And at that beep, we would pause, and then we'd turn the script around and point to it and say, read here. You know, we couldn't even say read here in Spanish. We just pointed, and they'd read it, and then they'd nod, and then we'd push play again on the cassette player. I mean, talk about a primitive and tedious way to share the gospel. But we were amazed how God used something so simple. And so, you know, we knew nothing. We had, 20 kids on this trip, teenagers and high school kids. We really didn't know much at that time about how to communicate, especially another language. God did some amazing things through that. And through that trip, many came to know Christ. Many asked Jesus into their heart to be made alive in the Spirit and to have the hope of eternal life someday. And so since that time, I've been on about 25 or 26 different missions trips to almost 40 different countries. And I'm amazed that when you go to each of these nations where we see flags, and as the parade was done earlier, it was so beautiful to see the nations represented, places you've either been or places you have missionaries in support. And as you look at the walls, the map, the posters and the information about each of these fields, these countries, it's amazing when you go to these different places how, yes, cultures are different. Yes, languages are different. Foods are different. And most of them are good, by the way, just giving you a firsthand report. I like food. And yes, I'll worship to that. Seriously. And there's some great foods out there, some hot ones in a couple places. But the fact is, the need is the same. Our God is the same. The desire to have life after this life is the same. It's amazing. It's something built within each of us to want to live beyond this life, to want to live, period. And when Jesus comes into our lives, and when he comes and makes us new and forgives us of the sins that separate us from God, and our eyes are open, literally, the blind eyes can see in the spirit realm. And when that happens, it's truly miraculous. When that happens, it's life-changing, life-transforming. And when you witness it happening, it's life-changing and life-transforming, isn't it? And as we, you know, I think about this song it as well that we've just sung. And really the theme of that is peace. The theme of that is the peace of God. And that's one of the overriding themes that is missing in these countries around the world. Not just because they're war-torn or because there's tumultuous times politically. You know, Jesus, Matthew records Jesus coming as a baby and being born in this world. And the scripture's saying that Jesus would come to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. And many have been disillusioned by that or misconstrued that or asked the question, if Jesus came to bring peace on earth and if he's real, why do we have anything but peace around this globe? Why do we have anything but peace in this world? But Jesus came to bring peace not to a political system, not peace to a cultural situation, but he came to bring peace to the hearts of men and women. He came to bring peace to the hearts of men and women so that in the midst of a tumultuous world, in the midst of a chaotic circumstance or situation, we could be at peace in our hearts, that we could have the hope of not just eternal life with him, but abundant, powerful, awesome life here as he walks with us through this world. And so that lays a little bit of a foundation why we reach out, why we go beyond our culture, why we reach out. 67%, and this is not made up on the spot, by the way, 67% of the world's population lives each day without peace in their hearts. 2.7 billion people, though they may have heard the name of Jesus, have not heard the complete gospel message, have not heard how to get to heaven. And if you look on the internet, you can find, and of course if it's on the internet, it's true. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you can do searches for unreached people groups, and it just gives statistics and facts about the countries and nations of this world who have less than 1% of the people in those nations that have cried out to God for faith in him or who have even heard. And it's stirring. But I'll tell you this. Some are called to go. Some are called to send. There may be a handful, a small percentage of people in this room that would ever maybe get to go to one of these nations, would ever feel called to go, would ever feel bold enough to go and to leave this place of safety. But the ones that are called are making a great sacrifice. You see around this wall, around these walls, you'll see prayer cards for different missionaries that this church supports. And this church, if you are a guest here or if you attend here and don't know, this church is doing an awesome job in the area of missions, of raising funds, of sending those funds to different parts of the world so that we can have missionaries, so we can have people that are going and reaching and touching a heart and lives of need in these various nations. And I'm going to encourage you as you leave today to stop and visit some of these little posters and little card holders and take these cards with you so you can pray for them. Now, we could not accomplish anything around the world with the gospel on behalf of the Great Commission that we've been called to do without missionaries on the ground. We support them. We send funds their way so they can take their families over and live in that culture and learn the language and intermingle with the people. And the greatest thing that they accomplish is really, obviously, reaching lost people for Jesus and sharing the gospel. But then their greatest goal is to train the nationals, train the people of those nations to be able to reach their own people. And that's where it really gets powerful, when they're reaching their own. But I believe that the Bible can be summed up in 7 words. Now, I know there's a lot of books in the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, and thousands of words in the Bible. How is it even possible to sum it up in 7 words? Anyone think that's probably impossible? 7 words, and most of them, actually all of them, come from the book of Matthew. Number one, now I'm just going to tell them all. I'll give you all 7 words straight out. Can you handle all 7 at once? All right, let's do it. Love God, love people, tell the world. Is that 6 or 7? 1, 2, 3, 4. No, it is 7. Love God, love people, tell the world. And in Matthew, the first 4 words come from Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus summed up God's law in a way that anyone could understand. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. I think if we do this, if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, I think this changes a lot. You know, loving God with all of our heart can be equated with worship. How many of you enjoyed worship earlier as we had the chance to just be in his presence? And I enjoy those times of just being there, because things change in here when we go there. And when we love him with all of our hearts, that's an act of worship. And Psalm 34:3 says, to magnify the Lord with your worship, let's exalt his name together. Now, some may think, well, how is it possible to change God's size? How is that possible for the God who Scripture says is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, and everywhere, unchanging? He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. How can we change this God? How can we magnify him or make him bigger? But it's the same concept of taking a magnifying glass. Any of you, when you were little, maybe you still do this, because there might be some big kids in here, you took a magnifying glass and you tried to burn leaves in your yard. Anyone? Be honest now. This is a morning of honesty, transparency, being real. Once again, how many of you ever took a magnifying glass and tried to burn the leaves in your yard, secretly hoping it would burn every blade of grass so you never had to mow it again? No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, many of you were secretly hoping an ant would crawl across that leaf and you could just zzz, you know, like, just see it sizzle or hear it sizzle. Now, of course, I would have never done that. I was such a good kid when I was little. But there are a few ant graveyards in my yard. And so the magnifying glass, just as it intensifies the rays of the sun hot enough to burn a leaf or to sizzle an ant, that magnifying glass is the same concept that God wants to see happen in worship. As we worship him, our worship of him and our loving him with all of our heart and our giving our praise and thanks to him is like putting a magnifying glass up to God, because worship helps us to see God for who he really is. He's already supersized. He's already big enough. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or even imagine, Ephesians says, right? So this God's already big enough, but when we worship him, it helps us to see him for who he really is. Because when we go through the challenges of life and the things that we don't understand, like we talked about earlier, it has a way of clouding our perspective. It has a way of diminishing our faith, and it gives way for fear to creep in and doubts and disbelief. And so as we put this magnifying up to God through our worship, when we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, everything within us, it helps us to see the world differently. Flat out, it helps us to see things differently. Secondly, Matthew 28:19-20 says a second is equally important. Actually, this is still in Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty basic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine if every person, even in this room, live by those 2 verses? Can you imagine how much different, not that you're not, but we all come up short at times, don't we? We have a hard time loving our neighbors sometimes. Now, I will go a step further, and this may border on heresy, all right? So don't, Pastor Joe, you may never let me come behind this pulpit again. He's ready with the cane to pull me off. I have not found anywhere in the Bible that says we are supposed to like everyone. No, I don't know if it's good or not. You said it's good. Maybe you're applying it to a certain circumstance in your life. Don't go too far down that road. But the fact is, We are called to love everyone, and I will make a point here. I don't see it saying we have to like everyone. Here's the point. We're not going to call just anyone up and go have coffee with them. We're not going to invite just anyone to go to a ball game and hang out, okay? We're wired different ways. We're created differently. I can equate it to worship. I can equate almost anything to worship. And it's just like the songs that we sing on a Sunday morning. I guarantee that at least one of the songs we sang this morning might not have been down your alley. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands on that one. We don't want to cause a division here. But the fact is, in any given worship set, there's going to be songs that aren't your style, that you just don't care for, that you wouldn't choose to buy the CD of that person that did that song. We're wired differently. We're made differently. But when we're called to love our neighbor as ourself, we're called to love them with the love of God that flows through us to them. And though, yes, we may have our differences, though we may not be on the same page with philosophy and theology and all these things, if we are loving God with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul and strength, and if we're, first of all, that's going to enable us to see even the people around us in a different light with a different perspective. That's going to enable us then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And our neighbors extend around the world. All right? The mission field extends not just around the world, but to your very doorstep. The people that you when you're mowing your yard, and the only time you ever wave at them is when they're mowing their yard, hey, that's your neighbor, that's your mission field. That's who you're called to love. And I think we're being challenged and called with this next, the next three words. So we've done four, and we have three more, tell the world. We're challenged in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by that. As I read the first two and think, okay, I can handle loving God and with all my heart, and loving people's a little harder, but I know if I love God with all my heart, he'll help me to love the people. But then to go into all the world, share the gospel, make disciples of all nations. That's not as easy, is it? And this is a day where we focus on the need around the world, but I want to call your attention once again to the need in your backyard. We'll call your attention to people in your very neighborhood, to people that you work with, your mission field. God may not call you to go to China or to go to some of these nations that we saw the flags of this morning. But he's called all of us to reach this world. He's called all of us to share Jesus' love through us to others. There are certain things that I get excited about. Now, my daughter and my wife, both my daughters, will say that I get unnecessarily excited about certain things. Wouldn't you say that's true? I see myself, I like to think of myself as a realist, but my wife sees me as an optimist. My wife likes to see herself as a realist, and I see her as a pessimist at times, okay? So we're not always on the same wavelength, you know? We're still working through those things. But the fact is, I am an optimist. I will admit to that. I see things probably mostly through rose-colored glasses. I think I got it from my mom. I don't know. But fact is, I get excited about little things. Big things, too, like sunrises. Anyone like sunrises? How many of you like sunrises better than sunsets? Ah, see, I'm more of a sunset guy, actually, because I don't like getting up as early as I have to see the sunrise. But I get excited about that stuff. I love it. How many of you get excited? Can you think of something you get excited in your life about? I'm just curious. Call out a couple things that you get excited about. Raise your hand if you have one, and I'll point at you. And I'm just curious what you get excited about in life. Anyone? What are you?
My children.
Your children. Now that's very worthy. Very worthy. Yes. You get pumped for a youth group. It's exciting. All right. Yes, a little boy back here in the Cub Scout uniform. Xbox, hey! Now we're getting somewhere, all right? Now we're getting down to the real world here. That's what I'm after, okay? All right, any other real, real things? All right, let's get out of the spiritual realm for a moment and just stuff that you get excited about.
Breakfast.
Okay, you've already had two. All right, I get excited about breakfast too. I have to admit that. I'm hungry after so many hours without food. Who else? Something else to get excited about in life. Oh, I don't know if I want to verbalize that out loud. Yes? Snow. We need to pray for her. He gets excited about the Steelers. Some people in here get excited about them. Yes, they let us down, but all right. So now, all right. If the Steelers had won the Super Bowl, let's just go down this road. If, I know it's a big if they had won the Super Bowl and you got to work the next day and you were a Steelers fan, what would you be talking about? You'd be talking about the Steelers. You'd be talking about the game. What would you be doing to the people that were Packers fans? Rubbing it in their face, okay? You'd be excited. You couldn't, some of you at least. Others are more dignified and respectful of their feelings. But many of you would have gotten there the next day and you just couldn't wait to go to work to rub it in their face. Maybe because they had rubbed it in your face in the past. But anyway, fact is, things we get excited about in life. Is there anything worse getting more excited about than the hope of eternity in heaven someday? Is there anything worth getting more excited about than the change that's happened in our lives? That we were once lost, but now we're found. We were once completely blinded, and some of you, maybe it's not so many years removed or months removed, and you can remember so clearly where you once were, and you wouldn't trade for the world what God has done in your life, right? What is more exciting about when this life, and James says that this life is like a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. In other words, this is a temporary home. This is a life that is not meant to, this body can't last an eternity. The average age span, lifespan, 70 to 80 years. And some, you know, with technology and all the medical marvels, you can live into your 90s. But the bottom line is there's going to be a point in time where your heart will stop beating, where your lungs will stop breathing, right? Is there anything worth more than knowing that when that last breath is taken or that last bit of blood is pumped through your body, is there anything worth more than knowing and having a complete assurance and peace of knowing where you'll go after that? Now, Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, in a very short period of time, they set out to go around the world. They set out to have a presence in every nation of the world. And you know what? They use the same concept that Jesus used when he encouraged us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They sent ambassadors to every country to learn the culture, to learn how we can tell them about this great thing. And they learned and they did it, and it spread around the world. Coke is in just about every nation of the world. I don't know about you, but the life that we have in Jesus is more exciting than Coke to me. The life we have in Jesus is more exciting than Xbox, although it's an awesome game. It's more exciting than the Steelers. It's more exciting than anything in life. Now, God wants us to share our faith and what has happened in us and to us with passion, with zeal. More excited about it than anything else in life that gets our motor turning. More exciting than even the sunrise and sunset that God created. More excited even than coming to youth group on a Wednesday or Sunday night or whenever it is. He wants us to live for that passion to share our faith and what he's done in us with the world. I want to transition. We're talking about going into other nations of the world. And on your seats this morning when you came in, there were some pledge cards. Some of you have been here in the past and know what those are all about. Some may not. These are cards that throughout, really over this week, you'll be maybe considering and praying about what you will do. But today, today we're asking that you'll take those pledge cards and be praying about and thinking about what amount you could commit to for this year to help spread the gospel message around this world. what amount you can commit to. You've seen some of the countries that are represented. You've seen some of the missionaries maybe have come through and spoken here. And maybe one of those has tugged your heart or connected with you in a special way. Maybe you have an exchange student from a certain country. So you're naturally drawn to their country, their nation. This church is reaching. How many missionaries do you have, Joe? 84 missionaries that this church helps support. And there are hundreds and hundreds of churches that help support one missionary. It will take many churches banding together, giving $30, $40, $50, $70 a month, and over all the churches that help support them, they're able to live in another land and share the gospel. I said earlier that all of you may not be able to go, but you may be able to send. We're talking about how important some things are that we get excited about and how unimportant. What can you do to make a difference in the world? Wealth is measured in relative terms. Many people in other nations see us as wealthy when, relatively speaking, we may not be in our culture. But listen to this. If your income was $25,000 a year in the United States, you are wealthier than 90% of the world's population. The 6.7 billion people on Earth, out of 6.7 billion, almost half of them live on less than $2 a day. We tend to gauge whether or not we are wealthy based on the things we don't have. Think about it. We tend to aspire to have more stuff and more things and to be more wealthy, and we measure our success or our wealth based on what we don't have. If we see it in light of what others don't have, then we are seen as very wealthy. It's all relative to our expectations. When you realize that 93% of the world's people don't own a car, it makes you think of your junker a little more highly, doesn't it? Or your second or third car that you complain about. It's a privilege. I just heard about a couple who lost a third of their assets in the stock exchange crash a few years ago. And they were rocked by this. That was their college fund. That was a lot of their retirement that they would eventually rely on. And as the husband was staying up late at night, several nights in a row, trying to fretting over this and trying to work things out and trying to shuffle things around to make it work, his wife came in late one night and said, "Honey, you got to let go. You got to let go of this." She said, "I think we need to get our checkbook out and write some big checks to our church and to the ministries we support." Now, it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? But here's what she said. We need to show God that we realize this is His money and not ours. We need to show God that we trust Him and realize it's not our money, it's His. William Coffin said this great quote, "I love the recklessness of faith. First you leap, then you grow wings. First you leap, then you grow wings. With God, though, it's not reckless at all." And I say these things, I'm challenging you, because sometimes these cards, these pledge cards, are called faith promises. You may not see in a tangible way how you know you have enough extra to do this. But I believe as we step out in faith and out of a heart that is stirred for the lost people of this world, I believe as we step out and say, "God, I want to do something to fulfill the Great Commission. I want to do something. Your word is wrapped up in seven words. Love God, love people, and tell the world or change the world." If you want to be a part of that, pray about and consider doing something. As you hold those cards and as you pray about them, I'd like to share a song with you. I work with a humanitarian organization called World Serve. And many of these missionaries around the world have to come up with various bridges or connecting points to the people of their culture. And one of those great connecting points in the continent of Africa is water wells. The continent of Africa, there's 1 billion people that don't have access to clean water. There's 1 billion people. And in those villages that are out in the middle of nowhere, some have sources of water, but they're impure, they're contaminated, or they're causing waterborne illnesses that will eventually lead them to dying. As I sing this song, I was inspired to write the words of this song to help convey this bridge, that clean water in these countries of Africa is a bridge that as you bring clean water to them, it's like Jesus said in Revelation, a cup of water in Jesus' name will turn the hearts of people to hear the message. And in Africa, they're doing this with water. They're drilling a well, and then people are open to hearing the message of the gospel, and they hear about the living water. And a pastor in one of those villages will go and be planted after the well is drilled, and they will be sharing 3 and 4 hours a day, sharing around that well about the living water. And it just makes sense. It's a bridge to people's hearts. The missionaries around this world, it's so important we support them. But when we're able to do projects like a well project or to send some other kind of project, whether it's for hunger or for Convoy of Hope that goes into Haiti and makes a difference in a tangible way, it helps the missionary to do their work. It helps them to reach the lost that they've invested their whole lives in reaching. And as you see this video and hear this song about the living water and the clean water, you'll see some statistics and it's almost hard for our minds to compute the people that die each day because of a lack of clean water. But it's just a small example of the need that's out there and of the need that we can respond to as we choose to give. I want you to pray about what you will do with that pledge card. And I know they're going to be collected this morning in a little while, but if you feel like you need more days to pray about what you will give, then I believe it would be okay to turn it in next week. But the goal is to collect them at the end of this service, and I'm going to challenge you to pray about what God would call you to do. As you watch this video and hear this song, I pray that you'll be impacted. This is what we're called to do, to reach out to a world that without Jesus, lives that without Jesus will eventually perish. This morning I want us to consider, you see some of the statistics, it's almost hard for our brains to compute, 6,000 people dying every day. This is just one need, the need for water. There are needs around this globe that we can't begin to comprehend. 38,000 children dying each week. If we were to calculate then hunger and AIDS and malaria and all the other conditions around this world, if we were to factor in India, Rajasthan, which you may have heard about as our district, our Pennsylvania Delaware district has initiative for this year to reach out to this state or this area of India where children are being sold in the sex trade, sometimes at 11, 12 years old. And what we do in a tangible way now, what we do with our giving, with our faith promises, our commitment cards, what we do is making an impact around the world. Can we grasp that this morning? That the commitments we make are to make a difference around this world, to draw people to a knowledge of Christ. And you know what? Time is ticking. I can't help but think these numbers that we've seen don't just happen once. Don't just happen once. We think about 6,000 people, that's every day. 38,000 children, that's every week. What can we do? In the near future, this church will, and you have done it in the past, we'll possibly take on a project like a well project, something tangible where you can make a physical difference that will build a bridge to the lost being reached for Christ. And so we have to make decisions. I want to throw this out, and then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to have a time where we receive an offering and we receive your pledge cards. But I want to ask you this morning, what can you do? What are you... Check yourself. Ask yourself, what do you feel you are capable of doing? I think about $20. What it means to me is something completely different than what it means to someone in Loibosoit Village in Africa, where I just was a few weeks ago. It's a village that 3 years ago had never heard the name of Jesus, didn't know anything about Christ. And World Serve, the organization I work with, went in and drilled a well, built a medical clinic and a church and a school. And now, just a couple years later, this whole village is testifying of the change and the difference Jesus has made in their lives, testifying of what living water has flowing into their lives and through them. And I think about $20 will provide a person water for 20 years. $20 will, that's just an example of what your gift, when you write on your pledge card, you know, maybe it's $20 a month, maybe it's a one-time gift of some sort. I want you to think of what that can accomplish. We can spend $20 like that, can't we? And I think of some of the things I've spent it on in the last week even. I bought a pair of sunglasses that I probably didn't need. $13. I mean, you drop it on Starbucks coffee. We drop it on soda or desserts or eating out or whatever. If for 1 year or the next year you can think of certain things each month that you could do without. Certain things that you wouldn't miss at all, but it would bring life. Not only in a physical sense, but new life. A new heart to someone on the other side of the world. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. And this is going to be a prayer that will be a prayer for the offering, so ushers can make yourself ready. As we give in this offering, it's going to be towards some of the missions projects that we're a part of, these well projects that are building a bridge into the hearts of people so that they can hear the gospel. And as you write on your cards and make commitments to give over this next year, a certain amount of month, it's going to make a difference, a tangible difference. But before we do that, before we pray, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you here this morning? And as we've sung songs about Jesus and about life in him, and as we've talked about so many things this morning, about eternal life, I wonder if you might be in this place this morning and you would just admit or acknowledge that there's something stirring in your heart that maybe you've never felt before. Maybe you don't even understand what it's all about, but you come into a place that maybe you're a little nervous about coming into this morning, but yet as you're here, you sense a warmth. You sense a special presence here, and that though you can't understand it, it stirs something in your heart. To say, I want to know more about this. There may be an anxiety or a lack of peace that's there that you've never been able to understand or explain. In each one of us, there's a void or what some call a God-shaped hole. It's an emptiness inside that nothing can fulfill, nothing can meet except Jesus. And this morning, as you're sitting here and as you're considering all these things, are you here today and you would acknowledge, you know what, I think I need what you're talking about. I think I need to experience this peace that passes understanding. I need to experience that joy that happens even in the midst of crazy times. It comes from Jesus. I want to experience that and have that knowledge, that security, that peace of knowing that when this life ends someday, I will have a place in heaven. I want to know that I know. If that's you this morning, I want you to do something that's very simple. And I want you to know this. It's not about joining a religion or a church. It's simply about beginning a relationship with the God who made you. It's simply about beginning down a path of getting to know, becoming a friend of the God who has reached to you, who has even maybe directed you to be here this morning. And this morning, if you're here, and maybe you're a Christian who has walked away and has not been walking closely with the Lord, and you would say, yeah, Chris, I need to close that gap. I need to get back to that place where I know he's called me to be. As I look across this room, heads are bowed everywhere. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. As I look across this room, if you would say, Chris, I need to ask Jesus in my heart. I need to start down this path of knowing this God of peace, this God who made me, to begin that relationship. If that's you this morning, or maybe you're here that you want to close that gap, I'm just going to look around, and I'm asking you to peek up with your eyes, just to open your eyes for a moment, and I'll catch eyes, and you can close them. I'm starting at your left and my right, just looking across this section. If that's you this morning, just say, yes, Chris, I need to close that gap. I need to begin a relationship. I need to experience his peace like I'm not experiencing now. Just moving across the room, just looking for eyes. Thank you so much. Yes. I'm in the center left section now. Just scanning that section. See if I catch eyes with anyone. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes, thank you. If you're honest, I'm moving to the right side, right of center. Anyone would just peek up and say, yeah, that's me. Pray for me this morning. Thank you so much. Catching eyes. And in the far right section, my left, your right, just looking across to see those that might peek up and be saying, yeah, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Remember me. Pray for me that I can begin that walk with the one who made me. I'd like us to pray together if we could. And as I pray these words, you can echo those in your heart and make them your own. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for us. I thank you, Lord, for extending forgiveness to me. That your grace that we sang about earlier, your grace is enough. Your grace offers me something that I could never earn and I don't deserve. It's a gift, that gift of eternal life, that gift of forgiveness. And your mercy withholds the punishment that I do deserve. This morning, Lord, I need you in my life. I acknowledge that. Come into my heart and forgive me of any sin that would separate me from you. I don't understand it all, but Lord, make me clean. Fill that void. Fill that hole. Bring your peace to my life. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Lord, I pray that you would bless this offering that's received that will go toward changing lives, that will go toward reaching the lost of this world. I pray for these commitment cards that will be dropped in the offering, that you will God, this is all yours anyway. We have what we have only because you have blessed us with it. And so as we offer it back to you and as people make commitments to give on behalf of fulfilling your call to reach the lost around this world, I pray that you would bless them, that you would just bless them in powerful and unexpected ways, Lord, and do something awesome through this offering and through these commitments. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Ushers, you can begin to receive the offering. And Pastor Joe, do you need to make the checks out to Christian Life, to the church, and that will be handled accordingly. Amen.